This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
This is Saturday Magazine.
Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, Macca and Dano. Our next guest is Michael Veitch. Now, I have been waiting for this all week, Michael. Michael has written a new book. It's called Turning Point. The Battle for Milne Bay, 1942, Japan's first land defeat in World War II. Now, most people will go, what?
What?
Well, you know, the Pacific...
That's what I did.
The Pacific War has not received the level of coverage that it deserves. Pretty much every second World War, it's all about Europe. Terrible things. Yeah. I do have to declare my father was in the Australian Army, but he was actually a military coast watcher in New Guinea.
Oh, really?
Behind Japanese lines. And became a prisoner of war and ended up in Japan in a mine near a place that got a bit hot.
Oh, boy.
But this is a fascinating part of our history. You know, General MacArthur and how Australia pivoted to the US.
Yeah.
How did you come to write this? I mean, it's...
This is my ninth book, and all of them, I've just wanted to tell untold stories, or undertold stories in particular. And I started with interviewing old buggers who flew in the war and who'd never spoken about it before, and I had a kind of an in with them because I knew what I was, you know, I'd have a lifelong interest in this, and I'd went around and chatted to them and discovered suddenly it evolved from just being a kind of a voyeuristic getting a good story to realising, oh my goodness, I'm sometimes the sole recipient
of this information
and became quite profound. And so it's sort of gone on from there. Sadly, all those old guys that did fight in that terrible war are gone now. And sadly, they took a lot of their stories with them. But on a bigger scale, a story that if we were Americans, this story would be on our stamps. And I'm glad we're not Americans, don't get me wrong, for many reasons. But it would be one of those things that we would be talking about and that kids would learn about, because it was such a David and Goliath struggle. People, as you just pointed out, that when Australia went to Japan, we were so completely unprepared for it. And Japan was an enemy that was so ruthless, beyond our comprehension, that it was like we were fighting aliens from Mars. Mm. We did not understand, we could not comprehend the level of aggression, let's just put it that way, of this army. And so we were totally bamboozled by it. And initially we had very little to go with.
And, you know, we were unprepared in a military sense. You know, we didn't have a lot of people at arms.
No.
Our industry wasn't able really to produce much of the machinery of war.
We had, Australia went from, before the war, not making so much as a bicycle.
Yes.
Before the war, to assembling and sometimes building from scratch some of the most advanced airplanes in the world, down here at Fisherman's Bend. So what happened with the Milne Bay story is that when Japan had its blitz that was totally more extreme than anything the Germans managed to do at the beginning of the war, they sort of conquering this vast swathe of Asia in virtually no time at all, and suddenly they were descending on they're pushing down from New Guinea, and the next stop away from New Guinea was, of course, Australia.
Yeah.
Now, whether they were going to invade Australia is a very is a disputed point. I don't think they would have. I don't think they actually could have.
It was never really in their war plan.
No,
knew they would simply starve us out.
All they had to do was isolate us. Yeah. And by capturing Port Moresby, this beautiful natural deep water port, and having it as their own, that's what they would have done, by controlling those sea lanes. So they did this famous push down the Kokoda Track over this ghastly mountain ridge of the Owen Stanleys. But the other push towards to grab Point Moresby was from by landing on this little dead end, mud infested, malaria ridden bay at the far eastern tip of those Townsville swamps. Yes, like, that's where you'd do the movie. That's for sure. At the far eastern tip of what was then Papua and what was then bizarrely Australian territory. People forget that it was essentially an Australian colony. That part of New Guinea. So the reserves or the militia who could not actually fight outside Australian territory.
They could fight there.
Yes. So that's why you had these kids that were basically barely trained and old men going in to fight one of the most advanced and fearless and unconquered armies in the world. So it was a 10-day battle. That it was all fought at night. The Japanese attempted to take this little bay as a staging post to then launch something in coordination towards to attack Port Moresby, coordination with the battle coming down across the Kokoda Track. Now it was only stopped, really, and it's still sort of often the hubris and the arrogance of the Japanese is really what stopped them, because nobody had been able to stop them before this. Yeah. They'd come down through Hong Kong and Singapore and Malaya and the Dutch East Indies, and they thought it would just be another walkover, but they were stopped because they didn't know what they were getting into, and they came up against some very, very determined and tough Australians, and for a change, really well-led Australian soldiers. And their leader was one of the most enigmatic generals of the war, and his nickname was Silent Cyril Clowes.
Cyril, yeah.
Because he hardly ever spoke, and no one could actually, except giving orders, and he just sort of was completely unflappable. General MacArthur couldn't stand him because he wouldn't be giving daily kind of briefs on how many of the enemy that they'd blown away. He would just remain completely quiet and was completely dedicated to the task, was never ruffled, and always kind of knew, well, I'm on the back foot here and there's not much I can do. And but he managed to pull it off.
It's such a part of our history, and, you know, that not a lot of people know the role that Australians played in breaking the Axis powers' codes.
That's one of the... I didn't have time much in the book to talk about the code.
But
that is another amazing story of luck. And, I mean, these are some of the most sophisticated codes in the world.
Mm. And a whole lot of people, you know, down at Victoria Barracks, men and women, and, you know, elsewhere in Australia, squirreling away on these codes and breaking them.
Yeah. And then being sworn to secrecy for 50 years. They couldn't even talk about this incredible thing that they'd done.
At risk of being jailed.
Michael, I know very little about what you're referring to in your book. Why do you think it is that we don't know much about our own history? This is a fascinating thing. Listening to you two history buffs talk about this, I'm like, what education did I have in high school? We learned about the squatters and the bloody shearers and the gold rush, and that's
stump,
about it.
The stump jump plough.
I know things have changed, but why? What is your take on why we don't know much about
it? Look, it's a funny thing. It does perplex me. It goes to the kind of strange quirks of the Australian psyche where I think we basically all suffer from an enormous inferiority complex. And I think it hampers us in all sorts of ways. It's hampered us with the Republic. I think for years it hampered us with, to be honest, marriage equality. I think it was one of the kind of cycle, do we deserve this? Are we good enough for this? Meanwhile, the worst rest of the world sort of getting on with it. New Zealand didn't bother them. Yeah, why not? Logically. But we're an odd... We have a tall poppy syndrome, and... But we're kind of... We've got swagger and arrogance and deep insecurity as well. And that's part of that, I think, goes to the root of it. We didn't like telling our own stories. We didn't like the fact that it was done all by ourselves. We kind of we sort of hedged all the Air Force blokes that were sent to Europe in World War II to fight the Nazis. When they came back to fight the Japanese, they were shunned. Oh, what were you doing over there? No, the real fight was here. You know, and so weird stuff that's really held us back, I think.
Well, kudos to publishers who want to put a book out on something that most of us don't know anything about and redress that issue.
And as someone who writes it, we have almost run out of time. But you know, I want to get you back because there's a whole element also of LGBTI history in our armed forces during the Second World War.
That's a story that hasn't not been written.
That, you know, is really, really interesting. And I encourage people, you know, this was the war in our region. It was Australia. Yes, the Americans were with us, but we fought with very small numbers of people.
Yes.
Mostly with not enough material.
Yes.
And we won.
Yes.
And we beat the Japanese. In ways they didn't expect.
And this battle, it was fought almost in complete darkness.
Yes.
It was quite weird.
Yeah. Bit like
very gothic.
A bit like having a fight in the press gallery.
Yeah. Where can we get your book, Michael?
Oh, yes. It comes out next week. Hachette Australia, God bless them, have done a lovely job.
Well, Maker has again. Snaffled the press
conference. I'm going to ask you to autograph it for me. If that's all right.
We can work something out.
Thanks for coming in,
Michael. You're welcome.
It's called Turning Point by Michael Veitch, and it's about the Battle for Milne Bay, 1942. If you think this is boring, then, you know, you need to change your headspace. Cheers.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.